The strange but true stories featured on this podcast contain details some people may find unsettling. Listener discretion is advised. I'm Chaya Samuel, and things are about to get weird. Welcome back to Weird Fix. These are the mini episodes where I give you all a dose of all things strange in between our full half-hour installments. And there's usually a pretty eclectic mix of tales in each one. This week's Weird Fix is no exception. In fact, when I wrote out the title, I even thought to myself, well, no one could ever say this podcast doesn't have a little something for everyone. We do have quite the ensemble of stories today. So join me as we kick things off by getting a little spooky. I may be biased, being originally from Greater Manchester, but every time I come across a ghost story from the area, I find it extra fascinating. I guess because it feels closer to home. But in the case of this tale, it's not really one ghost story at the centre of this saga, but a collection of them that all took place on one road in Bolton. The paranormal events that took place there in the 1990s were so odd that Wingate's Grove in West Horton came to be known as Greater Manchester's most haunted street, with those who wished to move to the estate having to sign a waiver by Bolton Council. So what on earth took place to earn Wingate's Grove this ominous nickname? Well, it all seemed to start back in 1993. A family living on the road began to notice some odd things happening in their home. Firstly, they would often find their young son in his room talking to someone he called the quote little man, but there would never be anyone there. Then they were alarmed to notice an oil-like substance dripping down some of the walls in their house. When they raised the issue and had maintenance workers sent out to their address, they tried to work out what was causing these bizarre leaks, but they found nothing. There was no source of the liquid and no logical reason why it continued to appear. Totally bewildered and I'm sure quite freaked out by this point, the family got in touch with a local church and arranged for an exorcism to take place at their home. This is obviously serious business, so they must have been really scared. And by all accounts, it seemed to work. After the exorcism, the weird happenings at the house totally stopped. But things would not remain so calm on the street indefinitely. In 1999, the ghostly activity on Wingate's Grove would reach a whole new level and would revolve around a house just a couple of doors down from the one that had been affected in 1993. A lady called Laura, who's now in her mid-30s but was 12 at the time, spoke to the Manchester Evening News about some of the things she experienced during her time living in the house, which was the new focus of these supernatural events. Speaking about her immediate apprehension after visiting her new home, she said, "I begged my mum not to move in. I didn't like the feel of it. I didn't feel comfortable, but when we got our stuff in, it faded a bit. When things started happening, my mum would say it was the ghost of my granddad, but I said it wasn't. I just knew there was something there. It felt like I was walking into someone's personal space. I didn't want to walk through the door." And it wouldn't take long before Laura would start experiencing some incredibly strange things in the house. One of them in particular really creeped me out. This sounds like it's straight out of a film. One night, when her older brother's girlfriend was staying over, Laura woke up to find the girl standing in her bedroom staring straight at her. Whether it was because she was scared or in a sleepy daze, Laura closed her eyes and tried to go back to sleep, pretending that nothing was happening. The next morning, she told her mum what had happened before heading back upstairs to get ready for the day. Around 20 minutes later, she was called back down by her mum, who had been joined by her brother's girlfriend. Laura said that she was looking at her weirdly, which made sense after her mum revealed what the girl had told her, that she'd also woken up in the middle of the night with Laura standing over her. How chilling is that? Ugh. She also recalls that this same oil-like substance would drip down the walls of their house, and that the maintenance workers had started to refuse to visit Wingate's Grove due to the strange stories and haunted reputation the street had gained. Weirdly, Laura also remembers that her young nephew would exhibit some of the same behaviours that the toddler at their neighbour's house had done years before. He would talk away to an unseen figure, but instead of calling him the little man, he referred to him as the big guy. Personally, I really do believe that kids have the ability to see things of a paranormal nature that adults often can't, so it doesn't massively surprise me that two young children had these same encounters. One other story Laura shared was about an evening when she was waiting for her brother to return home so that they could watch the new episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer together. She was upstairs with a friend when she heard the front door open, keys being placed onto a hook, and footsteps as her brother walked into the kitchen. She anticipated that he would soon pop upstairs to watch the show with them, but after some time went by and he didn't appear, she went to go and check on him. This is what she said when explaining what happened next. "As I got to the top of the stairs, I saw him. I asked him if he had just gone back out. He said he had literally just got home and his taxi was driving off. I ran downstairs and said someone was in the house, but no one was in the kitchen and the keys were still in the door. We heard it. It was really clear. We knew the sound of it." Laura ended up moving out when she was 16, and what she experienced in the house still affects her to this day. She opened up to the MEN about the anxiety she suffered with her whole life as a result, stating that her upbringing in the house is even written on her medical records as a source of this distress. She said that in her final 5 months of living there, she slept in the same room as her parents because she was so scared, and that she would continually see figures standing in her doorway at night. She would fall asleep facing the wall out of fear, not wanting to turn over and be greeted by the spirits she knew were there, which must have been terrifying for her. So, what happened after Laura moved away from Wingate's Grove? Well, a lady named Karen Walton ended up purchasing the property Laura lived in as a kid back in 2006, and she said that she had to sign a disclaimer before the sale could go through. She had to promise not to use any Ouija boards in the house or take part in any kind of dark magic practices. She was also advised not to move into the home if she had any young children, which feels very eerie. However, Karen says she hasn't experienced any kind of supernatural activity since moving into the house, although she's definitely not frightened of it either. She seems to have a kind of "I'll believe it when I see it" view of the situation, and thinks of the waiver and the history of the property as quirky rather than scary. All I can say is that she's a much braver woman than me. Would you be put off from buying a house if you knew it was haunted? If you're listening on Spotify, I'm going to try and include a poll on the episode page so you can cast your vote and let me know. I would be fascinated to know your answer. I know that was a bit of a longer story, so here's a shorter but still very bizarre piece of news I found a few days ago, and it's all to do with a pigeon. Now, I have a bit of a soft spot for pigeons. I don't know whether it's because I lived in Manchester city centre for so long and became so used to them being around constantly, but I think they're quite misunderstood, and that couldn't be more true in the case of the pigeon at the heart of this tale. Just a couple of weeks ago, an unnamed pigeon was released back into the wild after being kept in captivity by police in Mumbai, India, for over 8 months. But the bird wasn't injured or in need of rehabilitation. No, this was in many ways far more serious than that. The grey-feathered fowl was actually being detained on suspicion of being a spy, sent over to India by the Chinese government. Back in May of 2023, police in Mumbai intercepted the pigeon after spotting that it had something unusual written on the rings on its leg. Instead of just being seeing an identifying code or number, the kind of thing that pigeon racers might use, the rings were covered in what was described as Chinese calligraphy, and the authorities were determined to work out whether the pigeon was in fact an agent of espionage. To be fair, pigeons have played a large part in this kind of undercover activity throughout history, and countless attempts have been made by various military organisations over the centuries to use the birds for the purposes of spying or even as guides for missiles, which is horrible to think about. But in this case, it turns out that the pigeon was entirely innocent. After months of investigation, it was determined that the bird genuinely was a racing pigeon that had flown off course from its home in Taiwan. After it was exonerated, it was sent to the Bombay Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals and was set free to do as it pleased after its time in pigeon prison. It's always nice to end an animal-related story on a positive note. I really hope the pigeon is out there living its best life. Last but not least for today, I wanted to round off with my quick fact for the week. Now, one of my very favourite TV shows of all time is Peep Show. I think I started watching it around the time when Series 2 was coming out, and I followed it right until the end. And of course, I still rewatch the whole lot at least once a year. I love it. The theme song, which is iconic, is by a band called Harvey Danger, and it's called Flagpole Sitter. I've always been intrigued about why the song had that title, and a couple of days ago I accidentally stumbled across the answer. In a roundabout way, it was inspired by a real trend that happened during the 1920s, where people would quite literally climb up flagpoles and test their endurance by sitting at the top of them for as long as they could. It all began in Hollywood back in 1924, when a stuntman named Alvin Shipwreck Kelly sat at the top of a flagpole for over 13 hours after he was hired by a theatre as a publicity stunt to create a buzz around a new film they were showing. When word about this spread, it inspired a new trend, and soon people all over the United States were trying to beat his time. And many of them did. There was a man named Bill Penfield from Iowa who lasted 51 days at the top of a flagpole and only came down because of a bad storm in the area. The fad came to an end around 1929 as the Great Depression took hold, but it's not too surprising that it didn't last. After all, it's kind of reminiscent of other odd trends that have popped up over the years, like the planking fad of 2011, 2012. Do you remember that? That was so strange. I think it's for the best that flagpole sitting didn't last. It really doesn't sound very safe, and I would not recommend that anyone tries it. If you've never listened to the song, by the way, Flagpole Sitter by Harvey Danger, that I would recommend, and I guarantee that it will be in your head for the rest of the day. Thanks so much for joining me for this week's edition of Weird Fix. I hope you've enjoyed it. A couple of super quick source shout-outs before we go. There was that great Manchester Evening News article about the haunted street in Bolton. That was by Paige Oldfield from October 2022. We had a Metro newspaper piece from earlier in February of 2024. That was all about the pigeon, and it was by Will Neal. And finally, a brilliant Mental Floss article about flagpole sitting. That was by Jason Serafino from February 2023. I know many of you will know these by now if you're a regular listener, but if you're new here and would like to follow us on social media, we are at Things Get Weird Podcast on Instagram and Threads. On Facebook, you can find our page and private discussion group by searching for Things Are About to Get Weird. And if you'd like to pop us an email, it's thingsgetweirdpodcast@gmail.com. I'll chat to you all again next Wednesday. We are going to be getting all supernatural, and I can't wait. So, until next time, take care of yourself and others, and keep it weird, but the good kind of weird.